We thank thee, Lord, that thou dost call for men to serve each generation. And we thank thee for the presence of one such man who has opened up the gospel. And let us rejoice in the riches of the heritage of thy saints and the life which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grant him safe return, joy of his family together in thy name, the anticipations of these years left to him of service. We thank thee for him, for what he has meant to us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 584. Tonight I would invite our thought to union with God. Of course, there is a sense in which we're all united with God all the time. Otherwise, we should not be here. Paul quoted the lines from a pagan poet, "In him we live and move and have our being." God is like the air. He's about us. He's within us. And we are in him. And in that sense, we are united with him. But then there's a special sense in which this expression is used. And there are those in Christianity and in other religions who have said that to be united with God is to put out of our minds everything else, so that we have no awareness of sound or sight or taste, but we are wholly wrapped up in, caught in, sunk in the very being of God. They talk about swimming in God. I met a young candidate for the Buddhist priesthood in Japan. He said that he was expected in his preparation to sit for 7 hours a day with his feet curled under him, with breaks of only 5 minutes every half hour, and during that entire time to meditate upon God. His face was radiant. He said, that's the only way, really, to be joined to the majesty, the glory, the wonder of God. He said, very hard, very hard. Well, I'm sure it's so very hard that I couldn't do it. I'm sure I couldn't hold my thoughts to God and God only for 7 hours a day. And I don't quite see the point, really. Because if we believe that God is in everything and everywhere and in this world about us, why should we not seek to be united with him through all of his handiwork, in which also he is, rather than to think that we are united with him if we exclude everything else from our thinking? I personally, I'm sure, couldn't do it. I don't think Luther could either. He was too much of an activist for that. But if that kind of an experience is not congenial or perhaps even possible for some of us in this life, what about the life to come? Shall we then be united with God in a way which is not possible for us here? We're not told very much about the life to come in the Bible. We have the word, in my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. Heaven is larger than Texas, and there's room for everybody. But then we have another word. There'll be no marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. There won't be any male or any female. Well, if that's so, we shall not have bodies like these. They're either male or female. We repeat in the creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body. Well, what body? Can't possibly be the same kind of a body in that case. In the Middle Ages, they supposed it would be, and they had pictures of animals disgorging all the bones of people they'd eaten so they could all be gotten together again for the resurrection. Well, we certainly don't have crude notions like that. And then if it's to be this body, what age? Baby's body? An old man's body? After all, the body is completely changed every 7 years. What body, then, could it be? Really, I wish they'd change the creed a little bit. At that point, but there's another point at which, incidentally, I wish they hadn't changed it. I believe in the Holy Christian Church. The original is the Holy Catholic Church. Well, now that means something, because Catholic means universal. And to say that the church is holy and universal is saying a good deal, because when the church is universal, it usually isn't holy. And when it's holy, it's usually not universal. And to say that it can both be universal and holy is saying something. To say I believe in the Christian Church, well, why not? So I think we should leave the creed alone at that point. But when it comes to the resurrection of the body, I think it would be well to use the language of the Apostle Paul. He said, we are sown a physical body, we are raised a spiritual body. He made a distinction between different kinds of bodies, and he indicates that it's not this body, which is the resurrection body, but a spiritual body. Well, what kind of a body would that be? The book of Revelation says there'll be no need for the sun or the moon, for God himself will give light. Well, what kind of light is it without the sun and the moon? It's often been pointed out that in Genesis, God made light first and the sun and the moon afterwards. Well, how did he get the light without the sun and the moon? Is there another kind of light also? And how could we see light without eyes like these? How could we hear without ears like these? There may be an answer to that in the fact that God has no body like ours. The whole world is his body. But he must be aware of all the colors there are, and more than we can see with our eyes. He must be aware of all the sounds, sounds that the bats can make and we can't hear. One of the strongest arguments for the possibility of immortality to me is God, and the fact that he does have a body, and not this kind of a body, which would indicate that sentient life is a possibility without being housed in a body like this, so that there can be an awareness of color and sound and taste and all that there is in this universe without a material body like ours to see it and to hear it. But if in the life to come we are able to do that, it means that we must become like God. And there's a verse there that I find helpful. Beloved, we are God's children now. This is from 1 John 3:2. We are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. We shall be like God. There'll be a new kind of union with God. And if that isn't so, it would seem to me that to live forever would be simply intolerable if we're just the people we are here, unless we can live above time and above space. Luther felt that. He said to Melanchthon one day, what will we do up there forever? And Melanchthon said, well, we could look at God. Oh, yes, said Luther, that'll give us something to do. But I just imagine that after about a century of it, Luther would go picking on the popes to give a little excitement. And after 500 years, when Pope John got up there, he might call it off. But then I think he'd go down to hell and stir up the devil for a little diversion. I don't think Luther could take 2,000 or 3,000 years without having something going on. Think of living for 1,000,000 years or 1,000,000,000 years. What would it be? If we should be what we now are, we'd forget our present life. In 1,000,000 years, we might not remember our own parents or our own children. It could all fade out into all that had come in between, unless we are endowed with a memory like that of God himself, and we are enabled to embrace all space and all time. It would be hell itself to live forever and forever and forever if we were just what we are now. But then the book of Revelation says that in that day there'll be no more death. Well, that's obvious. We've died once. But there'll be no mourning. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no sighing. There'll be no pain anymore. But we were thinking last night that God himself may experience pain as he views this world of ours. And if we, in the beyond, have knowledge of what goes on in this world of ours, shall we not share also in the continuing pain of God? It will be different, because then we shall have a new understanding of what it all means, and here we don't. But even so, if we are cognizant of what is happening still to those we love, shall we not still share in pain? Then there is in the book of Revelation another picture, that in the new city there is a river flowing out from the throne of God. And on the banks of that river, the tree of life, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. Well, now the nations are down here. Is there then some healing among those who have gone before? which is somehow available to those who remain? We don't know. We walk in the midst of mystery. We cannot fathom the unsearchable secrets, and we shall not know fully until we ourselves have crossed the one more river. But as we travel on this our pilgrimage, we are able to say, lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom, lead thou me on. The night is dark and I am far from home, lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet, I do not ask to see the distant scene, one step enough for me. So long thy power hath blessed me, sure it still will lead me on. O'er moor and fen, o'er crag and torrent, till the night is gone. And with the morn those angel faces smile, which I have loved long since and lost a while. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessing upon all those who walk with us in this earthly pilgrimage, upon this camp and those who gather here, and those who conduct its continuing life. We ask thy blessing upon those who have gone before and are divided from us by the veil. And as we walk with little glimpses of that which is to come, sustained by hope and fortified by faith, grant unto us thy grace and thy power, that we may be ready to entrust ourselves wholly to thy keeping, not knowing what is in store, but trusting ever to thy fatherly goodness, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us sing this hymn, number 523. Were you playing the first tune, or did I lose track? Doesn't it's the more familiar one, I think, is the first, isn't it? That's what you were playing? Well, then I'm at fault. Very well, proceed.
Thank you.
Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of Christ Jesus our Lord, both today and forever. Amen.
Before we all recognize Milton Hollis and T.O. in the morning with Dr. Payne tonight for breakfast. Bill Hollis has been with us 2 months, and he has given us the bread for this life, just as we have been fed the bread for the coming life and the life in Christ by Dr. Bainton. And the same excellence has been characterizing both.